Grace to you and peace from God our Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. At the beginning of this chapter, the apostles are sent out with a certain sense of power and authority over all demons. It speaks of such things as what we hear about demonic possessions. It's a reality. Many Lutheran pastors can testify of this. It's a little different of an experience if you ever have that opportunity to experience such an event, but it is definitely true, beyond doubt, that these things do happen. But yeah, in our own day, we don't hear too much about demonic possessions, do we? The devil is no dummy. Why should he draw attention to himself? Instead, he invests in another possession that is less noticeable, the possession of this earthly life in which we live, that belongs to our own daily life and the circumstances in which we find ourselves in this life, a life which belongs to this world. Somehow we are attracted to the understanding from this life from below. We are somehow driven by our circumstances in life. There's something very possessing about that. Matter of fact, this morning I was sitting there reading my Greek text this morning, and I came up with this participle, which I could not figure out how to translate this participle. You wonder if God's a loving God, why do you put participles in Greek? So I got very frustrated. I said, how in the world, from the greater matrix of the sentence, do I understand? How do I interpret this participle? And I got frustrated. It's going to affect my whole day. But in truth, circumstances in life become a very controlling factor in our understanding of our day, in our understanding of life. As we continue, if we're good and bad and we deal with situations in life, respond to crisis situations, but even when we begin to look at how we view the scriptures, the practicality of God's word. Somehow, dear Christians, we think we're so attracted to this life, we think in terms of survival in this life. In many cases, we begin to place the attention of life, its essence, its understanding upon our own selves. People begin to see this. They begin to cry out for life application sermon based on how we are to live a good, victorious, moral life as Christians. Somehow, when we begin to view worship, it becomes centered not on God's divine service to us, but a service that's trying to meet the needs of the people, trying to cope with this life, the practicality of our Christian faith. In such an attraction, you find people becoming so involved in the demands of this life, of their own making, that it begins to create a distortion about what life really is all about. This world does not have a clear view of what life is all about, despite, yet the world continues to try to shape our lives, tell us what is best, what is ideal, through its willingness to give advice to what it considers to be successful, or what is, again, ideal within life. Now, or when you become a pastor, you begin to realize this attraction in people's lives, including our own selves. We are become so possessed with life that we begin to create our own problems, make issues of life that probably need not to exist. As a pastor, you become so frustrated sometimes with people. Like a dog that pees in the corner of the house, you want to stick their nose in what they have made an issue within their own life and ask them, is this really what life's all about? Is this really the life which is given by God from above? This issue that you've created within your own life. Sin, which is the middle letter I, somehow we are attracted to this life and we begin to sometimes miss the point in our daily struggles in this life. Just as the people of Israel was confronted by the Red Sea or in the desert, preferred to return their life of slavery, that which they know best, than to knowing that life from above in God's redemptive act. We somehow return to that which feels most secure and most familiar in the struggles and circumstances in our daily life that begins to shape our attitude to life and what we value most important for us and for others. Possession, dear Christians. It can be accomplished it can accomplish what the devil most wants within our own lives, without any big display whatsoever. King Solomon is right, all in which we do in this life is vain and meaningless, and it has no purpose as we struggle for meaning and existence and survival in this life. But Solomon points out that life is vain. Life is meaningless despite all our attempts. Unless, however, it is seen as a life that finds its meaning before God from above. The passage today draws us to that very life in which God has given us. At the beginning of the chapter, Jesus sends out his apostles with power and authority over demons, but also to cure diseases. And he sent them out to proclaim the gospel of the kingdom of God and to heal. Then the question is by Herod, who is this person? That is Jesus Christ. Then we hear Jesus as he reveals himself. He is the one who provides for our needs, as he breaks bread with us, as he gives all those things in which we need to support this body and life. And we see this as he breaks bread, as he feeds the 5,000. This is a very distinctive Lucan expression, much like in which we find in Luke 24, when our Lord was at the table with his disciples, broke bread, and their eyes were open. In some way, our Lord connects himself with the feeding of the 5,000, with the greater life from heaven in him, as it reads, "Then he took the 5 loaves and the 2 fish, and looking up to heaven, he blessed and broke them and gave them to the disciples to set before the multitude." After which St. Peter confesses who this Jesus is. He is the Christ of God. Herod's question is now answered. Christ is the provider of this life, but not merely a life defined by our circumstances and issues of our life, by our own secret or open sins, or our weaknesses, our successes, or our failures, but by God's gracious act towards us, through his divine service to us, that restores us despite ourselves as his people, for now and forevermore. Therefore, don't miss the point of today's passage of the feeding of the 5,000. It is about the kingdom of God and of healing. The kingdom of God does not come simply to feed us or heal us in this life, lest Jesus be a failure, because we will all die no matter how much food is given or as much as we try to feed the world, we will all die. But it bespeaks of that greater life from now to all eternity. It is the food from heaven that heals and nurtures both in body and soul. That is what exists in the kingdom of God. This is the kingdom of God. It is here that we know who we are and from the God who has first given us life. He, as he reminds Job, it is God who gives meaning, definition, understanding to life despite you and despite your circumstances in life. It is about God and his divine service towards us. As we enter in the church, we repent. That is, we turn away from this world's definition of life to the greater life that comes to us through God's divine act of word, his word and sacrament. In some way, the cares of this world are drowned in the blood of Christ, for Christ has met every need and answered every prayer. If this is true, which it is, then no matter of our circumstances in life, St. Paul says that the baptized, neither male nor female, nor the Greek nor Jew, neither slave nor free, we are all one in Christ. We are church, peering through the shadows and the challenges of this life to the greater life that comes to us from heaven. As we cry out, "Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord." The point, don't miss the point, about what life is all about, from above. Do not let this world be controlling, but the very word of God that comes to us, that we may know God and know the life in which he has provided for us. Yes, even our own daily life, that we may know really what is important to make issue of, that we may look into the heavens and enjoy this life, the sweetness that comes from heaven above, that we may know that Christ has overcome this world and given all which we need to support this body and life from now and forevermore, as he gives us the forgiveness of sins, thus life and salvation. When we think of the reading today of Christ feeding the 5,000, when we go to eat today, And we hear, as we hear from the passage today, we may pray the little prayer, "Come, Lord Jesus, be our guest." But perhaps we don't want to miss the point, and perhaps the better prayer may be, "Feed thy children, God most holy, comfort sinners poor and lowly. O thou bread of life from heaven, bless the food thou here hast given. As these gifts the body nourish, may our souls and graces flourish, till with saints in heavenly splendor, at thy feast due thanks we render." In the name of Jesus, amen. Peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in faith in Christ Jesus. Amen.